Welcome to Spring the Beacon with Ryan Rieger.
Today we play Lego, and Daddy helps the other guys stay home and play Lego.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Streams of Income radio show. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger. Today we have a returning guest, Dustin Heiner. Dustin was on episode 177 back in January of 2023. And I'll have a link in the show notes to that episode because he goes more in depth in his story. On this episode, he goes a little bit briefly into his story, and then we talk about how he earns passive income through real estate. He's got five different streams of income through that all attach to his what he calls a river of income that it's dealing with real estate investing. And so this is an awesome episode. I learned something new. I learned something new on every episode. Guys, I have the best guests, but Dustin's a great guest. I was taking furious notes on it and learning just from me, from when he's just sharing about his story and how he now has like over 30 properties and teaches people how to do this stuff. But he's giving away a free course, guys. He's just a wealth of information. He wants to help people. He's on a mission to help 1 million people become real estate investors and earn passive income as well. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course, masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Here's my episode with Dustin. Dustin, welcome back to Streams of Income. Good to see you, man.
Hey, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a little while, but I'm so glad that your podcast is doing so well that I know your listeners come back every single week to really just hear you and your guests. But man, thank you so much for having me on. I just really love talking to podcasters. It is so amazing being able to talk with podcasters and really get to know each other, but at the same time, share great content. So I really appreciate having me on the show again, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. I've been doing this for 4.5 years now. So, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday who wants to start a podcast, and he was concerned that it seems like it's so crowded now. And I said, dude, there's plenty of opportunity in podcasting.
YouTube is crowded.
Yes, that's right. So people quit podcasting all the time because it's a kind of a grind to continue doing content. So it's wide open.
Well, and so I apologize. I had the wrong microphone going. So I have the right microphone going now. So hopefully it sounds a little better. Yes. But I love podcasting and I love investing. And now I'm blessed to be able to put them together and be able to share just, you know, good content that hopefully people would want to learn from as well as implement into their lives.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, so you were on episode 177. It was January of 2023, so just last year. But obviously, not everybody probably has listened to that episode that are listening now. So just tell me your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do tell a longer version of the story, but I want everybody to go back and listen to that one. So the longer one, I want you to listen to that because I know there's so much more we want to dive into. But so basically, I'll brief it up a little bit. So I'm a real estate investor, but I didn't start that way. I, like all of us, was taught the exact same thing. You go to school, you get good grades, and then you take those good grades, you go to college or university, and you hopefully get good grades even more and get a piece of paper that costs you thousands and thousands of dollars called a degree. Yep. And you take that degree, and you go around and you try to find a quote unquote career at any company that you could find. Well, I'm following the exact same path. And then they tell you work 40 plus years of your life and then retire when you're 65, 70 years old and hope to live on what you managed to save that entire time.
Right.
You're working that just over broke job. J-O-B means just over broke because that's what you're working. You're living just over broke. So as I was walking through that path, I'm literally doing the exact same thing. In fact, I get the most stable, secure job you could ever think of. And that is working at the county, local county government in California doing technology. All three of those are not going away anytime soon. So right. I was doing that. And at the same time, I bought one rental property. I started investing in real estate. I heard it's good to invest in real estate. It's good to buy assets that make you money. I thought, let me go ahead and do that. So I bought one rental property. And that money that it came in, I remember that check as plain as day. It was $317 that I got from my property manager. I thought, that was the easiest money I've ever made because my property worked for me. Yes. Well, I knew I needed to be an investor, but Ryan, you know what happens? Life starts really getting in the way. So I'll fast forward the story because definitely go back and listen to the last episode because I go into a lot more detail of what happens because I want you to realize what I realized. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm working that dead-end job and then eventually on a Friday afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon, I get a call from my boss's secretary, like the top dog. And she says, Dustin, would you please come to the office? I said, sure. And I hung up the phone and I thought, this isn't good. I've seen plenty of movies. Friday at 3:30 is not a good sign. So I get up and I walk down the hallway to my boss's office. Well, I sit there and wait for his office to open up because he's with somebody else. Well, I'll fast forward the story. I actually get laid off, and this is from the government. Nobody gets fired or laid off from the government, but I did. And the reason why I tell that story is because as I was just being laid off, I went and sat back down at my desk, and I realized two things. Number one, I need to find another job. I need to be able to provide for my family. So I was really blessed to find another job in the same county. Another department wasn't having the same issues. So check, got that. Then the second thing that I realized, and this big reason why I'm telling everybody this story, was that I realized I need to make sure that this never, ever happens to me again. I need to make sure that nobody has the ability to take away my ability to feed my family. So right then and there, I told myself, no longer would I ever tell anybody that what I did when they asked the question, what do you do? I would say, oh, I work for the county. I do technology. And I'm projecting the value that I put on myself as coming from my job. Mm-hmm. My value doesn't come from my job. My value comes from my God and from myself and from my family. Man. So right then and there, I told myself, I will always tell people that I'm an investor. And it may so happen that 100% of my money comes from my job. That's now my part-time job. I am a full-time investor, you know, mentally.
Yes.
Well, fast forward, started buying property after property, each one making me $250 a month. Eventually, I had 30 plus properties. I thought, there's no reason to continue work here. So the reason why I tell the story is everybody, so for you listening, you need to realize that you will never be paid what you're worth. You're worth so much more than anybody could ever pay you. This is how you'll know. You're getting paid just enough to keep you working without quitting, but not so much that takes money out of their pocket. And if they did pay you what you were worth, they'd probably go broke. So instead, my suggestion is finding a way to have different streams of income that can come in to help you to become financially independent. My way was real estate, buying real estate. But then here's a great thing. After I quit my job, I realized I had 40 plus hours of my life back now that I absolutely can build more businesses, create more streams of income, which is what I've done. Now I literally have five companies that make me money because I now have passive income. Now, one last quick thing I'll say, Ryan, is I love streams of income, but they flow into my river of income, which is my real estate investing. Yes. It all goes right back into my real estate investing. So that's the that's the brief version of me. But everybody, I want you to realize that your job is very temporary. Your boss can fire you at any time. It'd be much better if you put your life in your own hands so that you are actually financially independent, so you don't have to worry about somebody taking away your ability to feed your family.
Absolutely. That's so good. I love it though. I remember you talking about the river last time, and that's like the example of, you know, you say you have five different streams of income, ways that you make money, five different companies. They're all connected somehow to real estate. And it wouldn't be bad if you also owned a franchise and a Subway franchise, but as long as that didn't take you away from what you really want to do, maybe you had a manager involved there. But that's the way I built mine too, is it was all connected to one main thing. And you can create, you know, you got the real estate investing, but now you have coaching and then you have events, but you're teaching real estate investing in all of that stuff. So it just flows together and it makes it easy to have more streams when you do it that way. Cause it's not like, oh, now I got to switch my hat and think about this business over here. It's completely unrelated.
You're 100% right. And I've even tried that. Like I even started another business that was completely unrelated to real estate. And it was a huge divergent of what I was originally doing. And it took so much more time, energy, and effort on my part. Sure. But when I started using, I think like a somewhat of an analogy is using your sawdust, you know, whatever you create, let's go ahead and sell that. And so because I invest in real estate, so you know, if you have a sawmill that you're cutting lumber, well, figure out a way. Don't just throw that stuff away. Let's go ahead and do something with that. So what I now do is with my real estate investing, I had people asking me, well, Dustin, how did you become successfully unemployed? I love the term. Like I'm not retired. I'm successfully unemployed. Yes. And I basically found a way to make money for myself and my family without working that quote unquote dead end job. That's what I love to call it. But because of that, I now have the streams of income, that come from my real estate investing. Like, I'll quickly go through it because I definitely want to teach everybody how to invest right now, especially when interest rates being high, how to make sure you're making money as a business. But for me, what I love to do is now with the coaching, I even love helping them to get what they want, which is their properties to become financially independent. But on top of that, I love getting people together. I'm an extrovert, so that helps. But I love bringing people together. So we actually have events and summits and, you know, retreats and stuff like that. It's just all around real estate and then all around helping people in real estate.
Wow, that's so awesome. Is there any quick updates, anything about your business you want to share before we jump into the, since we talked last time, before we jump into the interest rate stuff and helping newbies out or anybody that's
invest? Absolutely. So we could definitely get into, if you want to invest, I'll literally walk you through the process, how I teach my students. But for me right now, see, I'm an investor. And so I do all this stuff like, you know, coaching and online business and events for fun. Like this is literally what I do for fun. And I am also an investor. So just last week, I got a property under contract. I'm actually moving from Arizona to Tennessee. And here's an advanced way to do it, an advanced house hacking. If you know what house hacking is, you buy a house, you live in it, and you have somebody maybe rent a room or rent a part of it, and hopefully that pays for your mortgage. I'm doing a little more advanced house hacking because I'm an investor. I'm going to leave my property in Arizona. I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to put it on Airbnb and probably make about $3,600, maybe $4,000 a month from that one property. Then I'm buying a house in Tennessee. So I'm not taking furniture with me. I'm taking maybe our like personal belongings and clothes and stuff like that. But we're driving across because we want to live in Tennessee. My wife's tired of dirt and rocks and cactus and stuff. So we're going to be in Tennessee, but I'm buying a house not to be a permanent house. I'm buying this because I don't even know if I'm going to like Tennessee, let alone want to live there for the rest of my life. Right. So I'm going to live in a house that I'm buying for a year. And then that's going to help me give time to find a new area of Tennessee. Maybe I like that area. Maybe I don't. Maybe I want to move to another area. Or I want to buy land that I could build a house. It gives me time to live in the area to see where I want to actually permanently live. Yeah. Then I'm going to move out and leave that property as another Airbnb. We should be getting about $4,500, maybe even $5,000 a month from that property. So then I have two properties making me money and passive income. And I'm going to buy another property. But here's one more advanced strategy on top of that. It's hard to get a home equity line of credit on an investment property. It's very, very hard. In fact, it's almost impossible. But on your primary residence, you can. And when you're an investor, you need access to capital. Mm-hmm. Now, my primary residence where I live now in Arizona, I already got a HELOC on it. I have $250,000. It's not being used, but it's access to capital to when I want to buy a property. Then when I leave, they're not going to, you know, I move to another house. They're not going to take that HELOC away unless they find out. Unless they do something really stupid, like not pay.
Right.
It's still going to be there. I move into my next property. I'll get a HELOC on that property. So now I have two investment properties that were originally primary residents with a HELOC on it. So I have access to capital of both of those properties. And then I'm buying another one. We could do this all over and over. There's so many different ways to do so many creative ways. It's when you start getting around other people and you start seeing what they're doing, you're like, oh, light bulb, that's a great idea.
How often can you do that? Do you have to stay in there a certain amount of time to be able to do that?
You have to be in there again? 1 year.
1 year.
Yeah. Okay. 1 year is the 12 months is the IRS, or no, sorry, not the IRS. It's the mortgage. Like it's the mortgage company. But when you do, you can do it over and over again. Like you could do it 100 times. Just
as
keep
long
buying
as your
the next
wife's
property,
okay moving. With moving that often.
I know my wife's not, but she wants to move to Tennessee.
Oh my gosh. I love that. The advanced strategy. That's so cool. Well, tell me about, is that something were you doing Airbnbs when we talked last time?
Oh, great question. No, I was not. Now, here is why I'm doing Airbnb. Now, I personally like the idea of having 80% of my portfolio, you know, total amount of properties that I have being long-term. Because long-term, it literally is no work. In fact, all of all my properties, 30 plus properties I own now, I even have hotels that I invest in, other asset classes. It's so passive for me. A lot of people have heard of the book, The 4-Hour Work Week. You know, the premise of the book is you try to make your life so you only work 4 hours a week. Well, I think working 4 hours a week is for suckers. I don't want to work 4 hours a week. I don't want to work 4 hours a month. I maybe on all my long-term property work 30 minutes a month at all. I just look at my property management statement, set it aside and go back to work or go back to play with my family and back to everything else.
Right.
With that, That's 80% of my portfolio. Now, what's great about short-term properties is you make more money. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you can make it automated. Back mm-hmm. when I was starting investing, you know, Airbnb wasn't around. I started in 2006. Sure. It wasn't around. Then, now that Airbnb has gotten to be so popular, there are now good property managers. Back 4 or 5 years ago, there weren't good property managers that could do short-term. So you had to do it yourself. I am so passive, I don't want to do any work. So yeah. now it, we have so many great resources now that I'm going to have 20% of my portfolio being short-term because you get a lot more money per month. But at the same time, here's a big caveat. So everybody listening, here's a big pro, very, very big pro tip that I want to give you. If you're going to buy an Airbnb, obviously you're going to be making more money, which is fantastic. But that is in a booming economy. We've only had a booming economy for, what, 12 years now, or only, but it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. I saw the recession in 2008. Hotels are about ready to go out of business. People weren't traveling. People didn't have extra money. So if you buy an Airbnb and you have to pay this like $5,000 a month mortgage payment, and you have to rent it out 90% of the time of the month, then you're making money. Well, if you dip below that, what's going to happen? You're going to go bankrupt. You're going to have to foreclose. Mm-hmm. So my tip is if you're going to buy the house, make sure that you could rent it long-term. Get that long-term rental, which is going to be lower in price before you buy the property. Because you know, worst case scenario, I can absolutely rent it. Give you the numbers on my new property I'm buying. They were asking $440,000 for it in Nashville area. And I got them. I love negotiating. So I love helping my students negotiate. So I negotiated $20,000 off. I just made $20,000 just by asking a couple questions. This is great. Mm-hmm. So with that, I know in my short term, I could probably rent it for $5,500 a month total with all the short term. And with long term, I could rent it for maybe $3,000. So it'd probably be $2,800, $2,900, $3,000. Mm-hmm. But my mortgage is only going to be $2,100, $2,300 at most. And plus taxes, insurance, I'm still going to be making money. So that's the big tip that I want to give everybody is that, well, let me add one quick thing. Everything I just explained was that we have a business. Now I say, and I tell everybody that I'm an investor, that I love investing, that I'm an investor. But what I really am is I'm a business owner. Now, the reason why I'm telling this is because the perspective of an investor is I just buy a property and then I have to take care of everything myself. No, no, no. A business owner would not take care of everything themselves. They would have other people do the work. So what I now am, I view myself as a business owner, and every piece of property is a piece of inventory that I put into my business that works for me. But I don't run the business. I have other people run the business. And one quick analogy that I'll give you, because Ryan, I want you to chime in. If you're going to start a business, remember, we're not investors, we're business owners. We are investors, but mainly we're business owners. If you're going to start a business, let's say you're going to buy a candy bar, you're going to start a candy bar business. You could buy one candy bar for 50 cents and sell it for a dollar all day, every day. You know you can do that without a shadow of doubt. You're like, man, this is great. I could do that. Well, what if you didn't have that 50 cents? Well, great thing about real estate investing is, let's say you didn't have that 50 cents. You can borrow 50 cents for 25 cents, and that's 75 cents out of your pocket. You could still sell it for a dollar. You're going to make 25 cents. You're going to be thinking, why would I not just borrow as much money and buy as many candy bars and sell them because I'll make money? But here's the caveat, or here's the thing that I'm saying about the business and the candy bar. You would not go into business to buy a candy bar for $2 and sell it for a dollar. You'd go broke because you'll lose a dollar every single time you buy a candy bar. Same thing with real estate investing. You need to buy properties that make you money every single month. If you don't, you are absolutely going to be losing money in your business. So if you have that perspective, it's a business, I'm making money every single month, you're most likely going to win.
That's good. So it's just a different mindset. Yeah.
The big shift for me was because I actually, sad enough, I started buying properties thinking I'm an investor, and I bought my first property and then bought two or three. And then I found a property manager. I was living in California, mm-hmm. bought in Ohio, completely far away, found a property manager. And within 6 months, my property manager started stealing from me because just like if you were to start a convenience store, you know, soda machines and candy bars and all that sort of stuff, you would not open the doors and set a box of candy bars in there on the ground and hope to run a business. You go out of business in 2 seconds. Yeah. What you would do is you'd build the entire business, the cold storage, the countertops, bank accounts, cash registers, employees, insurance, like everything. Mm-hmm. And then you would buy the inventory. But at the same time, you would not see somebody walking across the street and say, hey, you got a pulse. Come on in here, manage my company, manage my money, manage my business, my customers, my inventory. Yeah. No, you wouldn't do that. That's what I did the very first time. And then my property manager started stealing from me. But I've always been entrepreneurial in my life. And I thought, you know what? There's got to be a different way. She stole from me. And the reason why is I didn't hire the right person. I didn't build the business first. Mm. And if anybody listens to me for any given amount of time, I'll always say we build the business first before we buy any inventory. We build the business first, and then we hire the experts that are the right people in our business to make sure that it runs without us. Because Redfin, Trulia, Zillow, those are not experts. Those are literally just companies that just have a database who are experts. When I invest out of state, I invest in Texas, Ohio, Arizona, Missouri, as well as Tennessee now. Mm-hmm. I make sure that I find the experts before I buy the property, because they're the ones that are going to make sure that I do it right. I don't want to be the expert in all these different cities, but I do want to hire the experts. Does that make sense? Like, absolutely. If you don't build the business, you don't hire right, you're going to actually get the wrong people, or you're going to have to do it all yourself, which it can be actually, last quick thing. Let's say you try to find you follow what the quote unquote gurus will tell you. Mm-hmm. They'll say, okay, you find a property anywhere in the country, you run the numbers, you just make sure you're going to get appreciation. Well, that you're not running a business then. If you're just going for appreciation, we want to make money. But they say, spend thousands of dollars to buy the property, spend thousands of dollars to fix up the property, then find a tenant, and then find a property manager. In my opinion, that's just about backwards. Mm-hmm. I did that, and my property manager started stealing from me. What we do instead, actually, let me say it this way. Imagine you did all that and you bought a property. You think it's great. You call up property managers. Hey, property manager, I own this property. Number one, Happy Street. Will you manage it? And they say, no, I'll get shot there. And they're like, oh my goodness. Then you no longer have an asset. You have a liability. Right. Instead, you say, you call up property manager before you buy the property. And you say, hey, property manager, I'm looking to buy this property. Number one, Happy Street. Would you manage it? How much will it rent for? What's the vacancy factor? What type of clientele would I have? What are the great things around the area? And if they say, no, I wouldn't manage it, then you don't buy the property. You don't waste the time and money. Right. But if they do, like this is when I bought my property, I'm buying my property in Tennessee. I checked all around to call lots of property managers. Then I actually found the right property manager. They literally told me how much it'll rent for, what's the high season, what's the low season, what is in the area. They gave me everything. I was like, this is such great information that I didn't have to figure out on my own. Does that all make sense?
Have you even seen that property in Tennessee?
Ooh, great question. So of the 30 plus properties and the hotels and stuff that I own, I've only seen one of those before I bought it. Huh. Now, because I'm going to be moving into Tennessee.
Live there. Your wife probably is like, I'm not going to go there if I don't see it.
She would not let me just buy it. Well, the biggest thing is it's not necessary. Let me say it this way. Actually, I have not physically seen the property. I literally found it 3 weeks ago, but I was in, I found it a week ago. I was in Tennessee 3 weeks before driving areas just to see where we might want to live. Yep. But I literally have never seen this property. Wow. But here's the big thing. It doesn't matter if I see the property. I see the pictures, but I get the experts I already had the inspector go through it.
Yes.
Inspector literally, remember, I get the experts to do the work. An inspector went through the entire house, got a list of all things they need repaired. I told the seller to get these things fixed. They're literally fixing those things. So that's what we do, is we build the business, have the experts do all the work for us. And then like of my time, that's why I can get on a podcast and talk to great people like you, is because I don't do any work.
That's so awesome. Wow. So tell me about, you mentioned before we got on here about interest rates and stuff, and that's why the question you get out. So let's go into anything that you know that a new person, or even maybe they haven't invested and they're scared, or they're starting to. What questions are you hearing? Let's just cover those, because that's what my listeners will want.
Yeah, totally. The biggest thing I'm hearing right now is prices are still very high and interest rates are really, really high. Now, here's the problem with interest rates high and prices really high. And everybody knows this, but I'll just quickly walk through it. When you are buying a house, if the interest rates are high and the price is high for the home, then you have a larger mortgage payment that you have to pay. When the interest rates are lower, the mortgage payment's lower. So that's why, because interest rates were so low for so long, that's why prices kept going up. Because imagine somebody, they're either going to rent or buy. let's say their budget, we have $2,000 a month that we can afford mortgage or rent. Well, if interest rates are 2%, that $2,000 goes very far. You can buy a $500,000 house at 2% easily with that $2,000. But when it gets to 6, 7, and 8%, that is much harder to be able to afford those strokes, or you'll be able to pay the mortgage. Now, that is what I'm now seeing personally. I'm seeing interest rates are hovering. I think they're going to keep going up. But the biggest thing that I'll quickly say prices before I get to interest rates. Prices are leveling off, which means they're coming down. If interest rates go up even more, prices have to come down because people only have that $2,000. It doesn't go nearly as far.
Yeah.
With that, let's talk about interest rates really quick. A lot of people might be thinking, man, Dustin, like, I'll tell you, I'm probably going to get a 7% interest rate on this property. And people might think, well, 7%, that's high. Well, that's high compared to the last, 4 years when it was 2-3%. But in the history of the United States, that's actually pretty average. That's actually low. I remember when my parents were buying properties, they were paying 17%, not property, when they bought their house to live in. Sorry, they weren't investors. I became an investor. But they had paid 17%. Like, imagine paying 17%. Okay, so let's get into one quick thing I'll share. Two things. With the interest, the biggest thing about the interest when you're an investor is you do not pay the interest on your property. I'll say it this way. I don't pay my mortgage on my properties that I own as investment properties. I don't pay my taxes. I don't pay my property manager. I don't pay my insurance. I don't pay for repairs. I don't pay for any of that stuff. I don't have to get a job to then pay for that. Right. I rent it out and make sure those expenses, because it's a business, I make sure those expenses are accounted for before I buy the property. And I make sure that I make $250 or more in passive income from every single property. So doesn't matter what the interest rate is, because if you buy it right and you make sure that you have a business that runs itself, that you have tenants that can pay the rent, that affords you to pay the interest, it doesn't matter if you're paying 100% interest, as long as it's accounted for that somebody else is paying for, then that works. Now, 100% interest sounds ridiculous, because it is ridiculous, but let's say it's 15%, 20%. Yeah. As long as that's an expense accounted for, just like my candy bar analogy, that 25 cents you have to borrow, if it's accounted for, that's great. Now, one last thing I'll say about interest rates that to help people to realize you should not be worried about interest rates. Because again, number one, somebody else is paying for that. Number two, if it's 7% right now, we're like, oh my goodness, that's bad. Well, let's look at it. Let's say interest rates drop. You're like, shoot, I had a 7%. I dropped. Just refinance. You refinance the mortgage. It's going to cost you a little bit of money to the refinance, but it's going to save you a ton of money. Let's say it drops down to 5% from 7 to 5. I'm going to be so happy, because now my cash flow is so much better because I now have a lower mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. But here's another thought. What if interest rates from 7% go to 17%? You're going to be so happy that you got that 7% now that it's 17%, and you're still making money in passive income.
Either way, doesn't really matter.
Absolutely. So it's shifting your mentality, or shifting your focus from the lack to the abundancy. Like, how can I actually make this even better, and seeing what the future might hold? One quick last thing I'll say. Okay. How I became financially independent was I just looked at what it would take to get to and cover my expenses from my properties. Mm-hmm. I remember my wife said that our expenses were $4,200. It's in my brain. It'll never go away. It was more, mortgage, food, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought if I bought one property that made me $250 a month, that's, wow, in 1 year, that's $3,000 in passive income. 10 properties at $250 a month, that's the minimum. I have some properties making me $1,000 in rent every single month. Mm-hmm. At minimum, 10 properties is $2,500 a month, $30,000 a year without working. 20 properties is $5,000 a month, $60,000 a year in passive income. You just keep scaling it from there. I have 30 plus properties and hotels and all that sort of stuff now. And the properties that I bought in 2006, 2007, 2008, they're making me, like I said, $500, $600, $700, $800, even $1,000 a month in passive income, because over time, prices go up. Last quick thing, quote I want to give you. You do not wait to buy real estate. You buy real estate and then wait, because over time, it will absolutely work out. And I'll say that one more time. You do not wait to buy real estate. You buy real estate and then wait.
That's so good. What are some other things you're hearing people talk about, concerned about, hurdles that people can't get over?
The biggest hurdle that I'm seeing is the mortgage payment. Now that ties with the interest rates and the price of the homes. Mm-hmm. And then people think, well, what if the economy crashes and prices come down? So that's the second thing. What if the economy crashes and prices come down? And I bought this house for $440,000 and now it's only worth $250,000 or whatever it's worth. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, this happened to me in 2006. Now, one thing I'll quickly say, the people that you see like on social media, they've been investing for 2 or 3 years. Oh, look what I have. Look what I have. Like, that's great. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're doing well, but that's in a booming economy. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll be able to have the longevity after when it's not a booming economy. In 2006, I started investing in properties. I was solely, which means only investing for long-term cash flow. Mm-hmm. And with that, in 2008, there was the crash. I was really worried. I was like, oh, what's going to happen to me? I was totally fine. But I started seeing so many other people that were quote unquote real estate investors go bankrupt because they were investing for appreciation. They were saying, oh man, it's going to go up, you know, 50% in 1 year. Like, no, it won't. It came crashing down. But here's the great thing. If you invest for long-term assets, mm-hmm. properties that I will literally give these properties to my kids and passive income and generational wealth. Mm-hmm. When you do that, if the market goes up, you make more money. If the market goes down, you make more money. If the market goes sideways, you make more money. In fact, in 2008, when I actually saw the crash, I was thinking, uh-oh, are my rents going to go down? Am I going to start losing money? You know what was the amazing thing? As people actually started losing their homes, which is very sad, they became renters because they had to foreclose. Well, the demand went up. I made more money in 2008, 9, and 10, and I bought more properties. So you need to start investing now, just like if you're going to be go surfing. I love analogies. So if I'm going to go surfing, you know, you catch a wave and you ride it in. Well, you do not wait till after the wave passes you to start paddling because you will not catch the wave. What you do is you start paddling now. You start paddling now before the wave gets you, so you get momentum. And then once that wave picks you up, and then you start surfing that wave. So if you wait and you say, well, I'm going to go ahead and wait until the crash. Well, you don't know if there will be a crash. I thought there was going to be a crash in 2018, 19, but there wasn't. It's now, look where it's at now. What if it goes up for another 10 years? Who knows? It might. I don't think it will, but it might. If it goes up, you're going to be looking back. Man, I was listening to Ryan's podcast and I should have started investing back then. Right. You do not want to be that person. You right. want to be that person that says 20 years from now, you say, I'm so glad I actually started investing back then, because when's the best time to plant a tree? Do you know that quote?
Yes.
Yeah. When's the best time to plant a tree? It was 20 years ago. The next best time is literally today. 20 years from now, you'll be thinking, man, I'm so glad I listened to Ryan's podcast and I started creating streams of income now, as opposed to waiting 20 years, because the next best time is literally today.
That's good. Well, give me an example of a typical deal for somebody like a brand new person. What, how much down payment do they need and all that, like in this current market?
Outside of doing a house hacking type thing where you buy the conventional, outside of that, which we'll move on from there because I kind of explained it. Let's say you already have your house. You don't want to move. You're thinking of investing out of state, which I teach my students. We love doing. We invest out of state mm-hmm. all the time. With that, you need to get an investment loan. So when you think about like how much down payment, what type, typical type of properties, here is my suggestion. This is why I teach my students. We want the types of homes that people want to either rent or buy. Mm-hmm. Either rent or buy. Those are cookie cutter type homes. 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,200 to maybe 1,600 square feet. Not too small. Families don't want to live there. Not too large. That there's extra toilets to fix, extra walls to paint, extra flooring to do. With that, you want to make sure that you're finding properties that have higher rents compared to the purchase price of the home. If you buy a home that's $500,000 and try to make $250 a month in passive income, 1 month that it's not rented, your entire passive income is gone because the mortgage is going to eat it all up.
Yeah.
Instead, what my students are doing, and right now, Ohio, Texas, Missouri, Tennessee, like the Midwest is great right now. Mm. Midwest and the Carolinas are in Florida. There's still some great areas all over those places. What we want to do is try to find a home that's $100,000, maybe $150,000, okay. and buy those homes. Now, you might not want to live there, but that's okay. Remember, this is a business. This is inventory. Sure. Yep. Somebody else will. And yep. so the type of down payment that you're going to put down on $150,000 home, I've even seen, and this is advanced, you have to have a lot of experience. You have to know what you're doing, have experience, and get good deals. I've even done zero down on my properties. Like it's, I can go into it, but there's too much time to take into that. But here's, if you're saying, well, Dustin, I don't know how to do zero down. Okay, that's fine. Here is what you're going to do. Look up DSCR loans. That's a debt service coverage ratio loan. This is really, really new loan. It's an amazing loan that's great for investors. When I started investing, I wish these were out. A debt service coverage ratio. They look at the property, not your income, for paying off the mortgage. And usually it's about 20%, but I've seen some DSCR loan companies at 10%. So if you're buying a $100,000 house, that's $10,000 you need to put down. You can absolutely do that. And those, and again, it's not like you have to have your really great high W-2, low debt to income, all that sort of stuff, meaning a normal mortgage you'd have to do. This is a business.
So if you got, and you're getting a from them, would you have to come up with the, I know there's like all kinds of crazy creative things you can do with the seller. And maybe they give you the cash for the down payment, but like, you know, just a cookie cutter normal deal. Is it normally 20% down for investment?
That would be yes. If you go to a regular mortgage broker and you say, I want an investment loan, or I want a loan. You just tell them, I want a loan for this property. Are you going to live in it? No. Is it going to be a second property? No. Those are check as no, meaning you're going to get an investment loan. And then you say, oh, okay, so what's it going to be? It's going to be an investment property. I'm going to rent it out. Okay, then you're in another criteria or another category. It's an investment loan, higher interest rates, all that sort of stuff, which is okay because remember, tenants are paying for that.
Right.
But it's usually, you go to a mortgage broker, it'd be 20% down. You can probably get 15 or 10% down. But let me give you another advanced strategy. Because I'm an investor, I look at my access to capital very, very shrewdly. So I could put 20% down on this new house of primary residence and not pay the PMI. That's where you're paying private mortgage insurance. It's usually about $150 a month, 20%. I have the cash, I could put it down. But I thought, what can I use my money better than trying to save $150 a month? How about I put 10% down? So if it's $440,000 or $420,000 house, 10%, $4,200. $42,000. If I put 20% down, that'd be $84,000. Well, 10% is half of that. That saves me $42,000. I'm like, okay, well, I have a higher payment, $150, but I have $42,000. Why don't I go buy three or four properties that pays for that PMI and I make more money and pays for the mortgage and makes me more money?
Yes. Wow. So if somebody, real quick, I need to run here, but so if they have a $100,000 house and it's 20% down, you're saying that they can get 10% of that 20% from this DSCR loan?
Oh, good question. No, what I was saying was that I have 20% that I could put down myself. Instead of doing that, yes, I'm going to keep that 10% so that I can then buy another property. Now, the DSCR loans, there's so many great things about it. Let's say there's rehab. They'll even put the rehab or the fixing up of the property. They'll even put that into the loan too. So there's so many great things. Wow. And so for anybody listening to this, if your concern is financing, literally get that out of your mind. That's not a problem. I have used 15 different ways to actually get financing. I've even used credit cards, literally, no joke. Credit cards to buy properties because it's a business. I knew, I counted the cost and I could pay it off. So the financing is not an issue. Biggest issue that you're going to run into is building the business so that it runs itself. And that's something that I love to, and so I explained it, but there's so much more into it as well. But that's the biggest thing that you need to worry about. Financing, don't worry about it. Finding properties, don't worry about it. How to actually manage the business, run the business. That's what you need to be concerned about.
That's awesome. So people want to, I know you have a coaching and a course. Is it masterpassiveincome.com?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I actually have a free course. Do you mind if I give that away to everybody?
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll literally give you all this to you. Like literally it's all in there. If you text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, rental to 33777. Rental to 33777 or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. All one word, /free course. I'll literally give this to you. Find an area anywhere in the country to invest out of state, how to build a business, how to make sure you scale it to where you can quit your job. I'll give that to you. But you can also find me on my podcast, the Master Passive Income Podcast. It's literally just a solo show. It's me just giving out all this content because it's just fun. I just get to teach all this sort of stuff. You could even reach out to me on Instagram. Send me a quick DM, the Dustin Heiner, T-H-E Dustin Heiner. And Ryan, no, I'm not that arrogant. It's the only handle I could come up with. Everything else was taken. But yeah, so the Dustin Heiner, reach out to me on there. But it's just my, actually, here's my mission in life, is to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. And it's because I quit my job. That was a mission. Done. Got that. I have enough money. I'm blessed. Now I get more fulfillment when I see people succeed, when I help them succeed. Awesome. So that's now my new mission in life.
I love it, man. Dustin, thanks for being back on. And seriously, anytime you want to come back on and chat about this stuff, you're a giver. You're a faith guy like me. You love the Lord. And so you're always, always, always welcome back. Anytime you have some new program or just, hey, there's, especially maybe when there's things going on in the economy that people are concerned about, you could be that. Because I have a guy that comes on and talks regularly about and gives updates on financial stuff. You could be the real estate guy for that. So just, you know,
I'd love it.
Let me know.
I love it, Ryan. Let's definitely keep in touch. But thank you so much for having me on the show again, man.
Of course.
Bye-bye, everyone. See you next week.